Thank you for being here this morning. I'd like for you, if you will, to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. Revelation chapter 19. The Bible is a wonderful book. It is a book that will never be exhausted. A book that it's no wonder that the Word of God said it's forever settled in heaven. And I believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And I believe that there'll be a lot to talk about in heaven. I believe there'll be a lot to rejoice about in heaven. And I know then we will know, even as also we're known. But I tell you, it's going to be a splendid place. Let's, I guess for the sake of time, I'll be reading most of the chapter through the message. But for the sake of time, for the text, let me start reading in verse number 11. John said, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. With it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Look at verse number 7 for a moment, please. The Bible said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready." I was sitting on the pew just now, meditating on what I'd be preaching about this morning. And I thought about that little phrase, "the wife hath made herself ready." There are some that would have you to believe that you and I have absolutely no responsibility in getting ready for this wedding. But beloved, I believe we do. Amen. I believe that grace is always initiated of our Lord. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. But I tell you, in coming to him, after that he came to me for forgiveness and grace and mercy, I was able to get ready for this day that the Bible talks about. I was able to have my sin washed away in the blood of the darling Lamb of God. Let's pray this morning. I want to continue this thought. I don't know where God's going to go with this thought, but I saw right there in verse number 11 where John said, "And I saw." I just want to talk about the subject, John saw, a little bit more this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. Thank you for this peace, our God, that we have in our hearts. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that each one of us would examine ourselves this day. And Lord, that we might understand the severity and the seriousness of the message today. I pray, Father, today that you would comfort the hearts of those that are grieving. I pray, Lord, you'd convict the heart of those, our Lord, that are lost. I pray, Lord, that all of us today would just leave here wanting to live a little closer, wanting to be a little more like our Savior. And Lord, I pray today have your way in every heart and life, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. The Word of God is going to give us some things here in this chapter. I've broken it down just into three areas, trying to simplify the message and what John saw in this chapter. The Bible talks about over in verse number 1, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. I believe heaven's a loud place. I believe heaven is a place that's filled with praise and filled with rejoicing. But before I get into that part of the message, I want to look here. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want to give you three statements. The first statement in this chapter I see is some are rebellious. There are some in this chapter that are rebels. They're rebellious. There's some in our generation that are rebellious. There are some in every generation that are rebellious. Korah and his sons in the days of Moses rebelled against Moses. And the Word of God tells us that God opened up the ground and swallowed them. Amen. Swallowed them up. The Word of God, it seems to me like in our day that sometimes I don't think we put a high enough price tag on rebellion. But the Word of God said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And I believe sometimes people look at rebellion, they say, well, that's just kids being kids. And, you know, sometimes they just kind of, listen, that rebellion needs to be kept in check. It'll get people in trouble, in bad trouble. It'll get them in trouble with God. It'll get them in trouble with the law. Say amen. It'll get them in trouble. And I used to tell the men in prison often that if they would look at their lives, that the source could be traced back probably 99 out of 100 times to a lack of respect for the authority that God had placed in their life. They rebelled. They rebelled against the mom, or they rebelled against the dad, or they rebelled against the teacher. You know, there was a day when you went to school and got in trouble. Well, you were in trouble at home, too. I mean, when they believed in corporal punishment when I went to school. You say, what is that? Let me explain it to you. It's the Board of Education being applied to the seat of learning. Amen. And my daddy always told me, he said, son, if you get a whooping at school, you're going to get another whooping when you get home. And through my school years, there become a transition where the parents were no longer upset that the children were rebelling, but now they're mad at the teacher for trying to correct their perfect little youngin. I tell you what, if you've got a perfect little youngin, I'd like to meet him. Amen. Because so far I haven't met one. Amen. And I wasn't one when I was growing up. But they're rebellious. Look here in verse number 2. The Bible said, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. I'm not going to go into a deep study right here, but most believe that's speaking of Rome. And certainly Catholicism comes out of Rome. And certainly there's a lot of blood, amen, at her hand. And certainly God, my friend, is angry with those that are telling men and women, boys and girls, that there's another way to heaven besides the cross of Calvary and the Lord Jesus and the blood that was shed there. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he has saved us. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 17. And we're looking at this rebellion, and we won't spend a lot of time here. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. I'm telling you, there's a rebellion here, amen, that's pictured in the Word of God. And you say, preacher, where do rebels end up? Look at verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped the image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You say, preacher, this is an ugly scene. I tell you what's being described. Beloved, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, God said, I will mock when their fear cometh. I will laugh at their calamity. They've mocked our God. They've mocked his church. They've mocked the bride of Christ. But there's coming a day, beloved, listen, when the rebellion will be put down, and our God will see to it that that happens. What John saw was some are rebellious. And then I want you to see this. What John saw not only is that some are rebellious, but he sees that some are ready. Look what he said here. He said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Let me ask you a question. What kind of person would go to a wedding and not be prepared? Amen. What kind of bride, Brother Larry, would go to a wedding without a wedding garment? What kind would go to a wedding with a big stain? I'm telling you, it wouldn't take a big stain on a wedding dress to ruin it, would it, ladies? Amen. Just a little stain. The wedding dress normally is white and normally is beautiful and normally is very attractive. And you could just have a little spot. Aren't you glad? Thank God. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be presented without spot and without blemish. And we'll have on the righteousness the Word of God said of the saints. You say, where'd we get that? How many knows? He imputed it unto us. He gave us his righteousness that we can come to this wedding ready in a spotless garment. And the bridegroom, my friend, will be united with the bride in heaven. Amen. The marriage of the Lamb is come. Let us be glad and rejoice. They're ready. You say, preacher, what do you see here? Let me give you three things hurriedly. Those that are ready are rejoicing. By the way, let me say this to you. If you're ready today, you ought to be rejoicing today. You shouldn't be waiting for that day to rejoice. You ought to be rejoicing. Amen. Listen, that you're ready for this wedding in the sky. The Bible said here, if you look at verse number 3, and again they say, Alleluia. Her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 beasts, their 24 elders, and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. How many's one of his servants this morning? How many's one that fears him this morning? I say God desires praise, and God desires worship, and God deserves that this morning from those that have made themselves ready. Those that are ready are rejoicing. Secondly, those that are ready are righteous. Look at verse number 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Let me say this morning. I'm going to say it humbly and I'm going to say it kindly. But if you don't want to be righteous now, if you don't want to be on the right side of any issue now, if you don't want to be on the right side where our Lord stands on any given thing, then what makes you think that you'd want to be a part of this wedding? Amen. I tell you, there's people today standing up and they're saying it's all right to drink. People standing up saying it's all right to shack up. People standing up saying it's all right for a man and a man and a woman and a woman. It's all right to kill the babies, but it's all right to hug the trees. I believe we're to hug the babies, amen. And cut a tree down every once in a while and build a fire out of it, amen. Thank God this morning. Listen, there are issues all through the Bible. All through the Bible, where man is calling what God said is right, wrong, and calling what God said is wrong, right. But righteousness will prevail on this day, amen. The righteousness of the saints. Those that are ready are rejoicing. Those that are ready are righteous. But I want to give you this morning before we go on to the last thing. Those that are ready are reverential. It just seems to me like, Brother Steve, every time you turn around, it started in chapter number 1. But every time you turn around, God shows John something. John's looking for a place to fall down, Brother Rose. Amen. Now, he doesn't always have it right. Twice, I didn't understand this till I looked back at chapter number 19. We looked at it last week, I think, on Sunday night, where John fell down and the angel said, "See thou do it not. I'm of thy brethren. I'm thy fellow servant." He said, "Worship God." It happens again right here in this chapter. Amen. And we said whenever the angel in the Bible does receive worship, it's always a picture. And listen, it is the person of the Lord Jesus that's showing up. Amen. When he will receive worship. But look here at verse number 10, if you will. "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." He said, "Preacher, I don't understand the importance of what you're trying to say. I'm trying to say those that are going, those that are ready, there's a reverence in their heart for the things of God. There's a reverence in their heart for the people of God. There's a reverence in their heart for the Word of God. And we're not looking for a place to stand up and stick our chest out, but we're always looking for a place to bow. A place to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God." Realizing that the likes of him would invite you and I to the likes of a wedding like this. And make it possible that we can be ready when he calls us out of this world. What a blessing that is. Some are rebellious, but thank God not all. Some are ready. He said on verse number 9, "He said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." How many of you have been called? How many of you know you got a reservation? Amen. Thank God we're going to show up that day and it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit different. You know, Brother Jeff, and we have a wedding today. All the eyes are on the bride. When that lady at the organ starts playing that wedding march, the church turns around and looks at those back doors. They're looking for them to fly open. And all the eyes are on the bride. But I tell you, at this wedding, all the eyes are going to be on the bridegroom. Hallelujah. He's going to be the center of attention. He's going to be the one where we're hollering, "Worthy is the Lamb." Amen. And worshiping him on that day. Some are rebellious. Some are ready. But the third thing I see here in what John saw, I see that a Savior is revealed. You see in verse number 11, John said, in the middle of this chapter, in the middle of dealing with the bride, in the middle of dealing with the rebellion, he deals with the Savior, the bridegroom. And he said, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." I want to say this to you this morning and say it reverently. It's going to be different when Jesus comes back this time from when he came the first time. The first time he came as a lamb to give his life. This time he's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah.
He's coming the first time he came that we might be justified. But the second time he comes, this world will be judged. I believe we need to understand, my friend, what's going on here. The rebellion will be cut down. You say, preacher, what is revealed? Well, first thing I see is revealed is his righteousness is revealed. Look at the will, verse number 11. The Bible said faithful and true. He's called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. How many of you all believe that sometimes a war is justified and sometimes it's not? Sometimes in war, war is nothing but a huge mistake. But other times, my friend, there has to be, amen. And I'm telling you that this war will be right. And that our Lord, in righteous judgment, will come and will pass judgment on this world that we live in and those that have rebelled against him and against his gospel. His righteousness is revealed. The second thing is revealed is his royalty. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. You say, preacher, what does that represent? I'll tell you something this morning. Listen to me carefully. His eyes can see deeper than your eyes and my eyes can. Even when Jesus was walking upon the face of the earth, he had the ability to look into men's hearts and know what they were thinking even before they said it. And in this day, his eyes are as a flame of fire. His royalty is being revealed. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I'll tell you, when he came the first time, they mocked him. Let me read some verses to you that point this out. The Bible said in Matthew 27:37, and they set up over his head his accusation. This was an accusation. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, in Luke 23:38. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews, in John 19:3. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands, in Matthew 27:29. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. In John 19:19, Pilate wrote a title, put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. In chapter 19, verse 21, then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said. What are they saying? They're saying, don't write King of the Jews. Write, he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered them and said, what I have written, I have written. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is King of the Jews. But he's being revealed in this chapter. Not only is he King of the Jews, but he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And beloved, that's the one that's coming. And that's the one, my friend, that's righteous. That's the one that'll be revealed. That's the one we'll be married to at the marriage of the Lamb. The glorious Savior, he is revealed. His royalty is revealed. The Bible said he hath on his vesture and on his thigh written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This world has seen some wonderful kings. King David was a wonderful king. I'll tell you, they've never seen a king that would hold a light to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Savior is revealed. His righteousness is revealed. His royalty is revealed. But let me give you this morning. His rod is revealed. The Bible said in verse number 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Beloved, listen. He's got blood on his vesture. Listen to me carefully. From what I've been able to study, that's not talking about the redeeming blood. That's talking about this battle that he's in. Honey, the blood's going to run as deep as the horse's bridle in the battle of Armageddon. You say, preacher, we're going to have blood all over us. I'm not sure about that. I don't think so, and I tell you why. I don't believe we're doing any fighting. I believe we're just riding along behind the king and watching him. Beloved, he's going to take care of the rebellion. He's going to take care of the rebellious. He's going to set up a kingdom, and it will be wonderful in that day. I tell you, in this chapter, thank God there's a wedding. But I'll tell you something right now, there's also a war. Amen. Jesus Christ the Lord, his rod is revealed. I didn't realize this. Let me read a passage to you this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. In Isaiah 63, this afternoon you could start reading in verse 1, but for the sake of time, I'm going to start in verse 4. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. This is Isaiah 63, starting in verse 4. Verse 5, and I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger. Beloved, this don't sound like the Jesus that's being preached today. I'm telling you, listen, he is gentle. Amen. He is a shepherd. He is the Savior. But he is also the judge. It's coming, beloved, to set things right. This does not sound like the gentle Jesus. Listen what the Bible said. I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury. I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old. Listen, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy and fought against them. I'm telling you, beloved, that is a side of our loving Lord that this generation knows nothing about. There's coming a judgment on the earth. Amen. And listen, though we will be at a wedding and though we will witness a war, those that are rebellious will be turned into hell. That's what the Word of God said. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. I'll tell you something right now. If we don't remember God in our country, this country will be turned into hell. Are you listening to me? We need to remember. We need to remember. We need to, my friend, get some accurate history books back in the school. We've got people that are rewriting history. Well, if they're brazen enough to rewrite the Bible, no wonder they want to rewrite the history book. They don't want us to know that God has blessed America and that God has helped America and that God in his grace and his goodness was incorporated into the foundation stones of this great nation that we live in called America. Oh, beloved friend, John saw, he saw those that were ready. He saw those that were rebellious, but he saw a Savior, a Redeemer revealed in this chapter. I'm going to give you something, and we're going to go right into the invitation. Brother Johnny, I've got Brother Richard going to play a song this morning. During the invitation. It's a song that the Inspiration sang years ago, and I haven't heard it in years. But as I studied, I woke up this morning and called Brother Eddie and asked him if he could arrange it on the computer so we could hear it. And he graciously did. I want to tell you something. You're invited to a wedding. Brother Arnold, it'll be held soon. We are the bride. Christ is the groom. And as we listen to this song this morning, it is my prayer that some would just gather around, just find a place to fall down, say, God, I thank you that I'm ready. If you stepped out today and said, come up hither, I'm ready. I believe some ought to gather around with a burden for those that are not ready. Our friends, our loved ones, our acquaintances, we'll never see them again unless they get ready for this wedding. You're invited to a wedding. It'll be held soon. We're the bride. Christ is the groom. Then this morning, it is my prayer. If you're here and you're not ready, something would go on down in your heart. Say, I don't want to miss that wedding. I want to be there that day. You know, over there in the Bible, Brother Rose, there's a parable used where somebody tried to come into the wedding without a wedding garment on. Honey, you can't come to this wedding without a wedding garment on. You've got to be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere or another in your life, that sin has to be brought under the blood. And you have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, when you are, you'll be made ready. Glory to God, He's going to present us without spot, without blemish. We won't have to look down and see if there's any spot on our garment, because it'll be perfect just like He is. And we'll be perfect just like He is. We're not perfect now. As a matter of fact, it humbles me to think that I'm invited. You know, some people would get all excited if some big shot in Hollywood would invite you to their wedding. You'd think, boy, I tell you, there's one in heaven that's invited the whole human race. You say, preacher, you really believe that? Yes, I do. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You're invited. You're invited. Let's bear for prayer. Brother Richard, if you'll play the song for us. If you're here this morning and God speaks to your heart, please listen carefully to the words. Think about this. I believe God will bless your heart. Think about it.
You're invited to a wedding that will be held soon.
Hallelujah.
We are the bride.
Yes, we are, Brother Al.
With a crown to wear and a long white robe, we'll walk down the aisle.
Think about that.
Made of pure gold.
What's your answer this morning?
How
will you respond?
How will you respond? The groom is asking the bride to come, and the supper will be in heaven, our new home.
Amen.
Here's a wedding in the
He's sending it with love. Would you come? Would you come? worship him this morning.
Now if Daniel can come from a lion's den,
think about this.
If fire can touch three Hebrew children, if Lazarus can make it
yes, we can. We get to go. Hallelujah.
What is your answer?
How many remembered when you responded when he called you?
The groom is asking the bride to come, and the supper will be in heaven. Have you hope above? Here's a way. He's singing with love. What is your answer?
Oh, I wish I could sing. I'd love to help him.
How will you
amen.
Respond? The groom is asking the
yes,
bride to come, and the supper.